This is the Vet Alumni Podcast with Tech and Prem.
Vet Alumni Podcast. I'm Tech. He's Prem. We're just music producers talking Philly sports, man.
What's up, Tech?
What's up, man?
You know, bye week. It's bye a little different. Week. Different type of week. You know,
we got a new president, so it's definitely a different week.
Indeed it is.
You know, and it came down to Philly, and we got it done. I'm very proud of my city this week. Very proud.
Well, you know, this isn't a political podcast.
No, it isn't. We got football. Listen, we got I hate to say it. We're at that point with this team where if it's a division game, it's a must-win scenario.
It is. It's a playoff game because those games are your ticket.
They're your ticket.
That's it.
Because as hard to believe as it is, this team could go on a five-game losing streak, win the division games,
and
win the division.
They could. When you look at the schedule, you know, we have some tough games coming up with New Orleans and Seattle and Green Bay and Arizona back to back to back to back. And not to mention after New York, you have to go to Cleveland. Now, Cleveland's been up and down. But
Hold on. That's a Jim Schwartz defense that has to go up against Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and Kyler Murray.
They do. And in his defense, though, when you think about against Russell Wilson, his last two performances against Russell Wilson are better than any defensive coordinators in football. 17 points each game.
And well, that's that Russell is true. Wilson.
Those
were games that our offense let us down.
They did. And, you know, now you add a guy like Darius Slay into the mix who has quietly been dominant this year when facing number one receivers.
He definitely has.
He hasn't really given up much at all this year. You know, the pass rushes, top
three.
He had
one bad game where he did get beat a couple times.
But. Yeah. I believe that was I think in the Steeler game, Claypool got him once on the touchdown.
Yeah, it was Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it was definitely Pittsburgh, which, wow, how about Pittsburgh over the weekend?
Unbelievable.
What a terrible performance from a 7-0 football team. Now, obviously, they get out with a win because the Cowboys are atrocious.
And Big Ben was able to get back in the game because if it had to be Mason Rudolph, you had to know that you were looking at an L. You were going to get beat by Dallas.
Mason Rudolph reminds me of like what a grown child actually looks like. Like if there actually was like a grown child,
a man.
I know the guy has had he's had a tough go in the NFL so far with the helmet incident.
I can't even believe he's still on the team or still they brought him back. Like
speaking of backups, the kid that played for Dallas this week, Gabbert, I believe is his name, Gilbert. Yes, I'm thinking of Blaine Gabbert.
Yes.
Gabbert Gilbert. What's eating Gilbert's grape?
What? Yeah, that
he actually.
As soon as this guy came in, I'm like, Gilbert.
He ate pretty well. No, he did actually. He played pretty well.
He wasn't terrible.
And against a very good defense. Again, though, this division, like you said, Eagles division games.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
We could lose all those games on the schedule that you're looking at now going, well, that's a loss. They could literally lose all those games and still win the division.
And they probably will sweep the division games unless I will say this about Washington. I know that they don't really have, they have a crazy quarterback situation, but their front seven is formidable.
Yeah, it is.
And the way our quarterback's playing with the prone for turnovers, and if he doesn't turn the turnover bug around, that could be an issue against Washington.
Has to turn it. I mean, I was so happy that we didn't have a game to lose this past week. It was a bye. It was like,
spoken like a true doom and gloomer.
We did not have a game to lose.
Bye weeks. I sat on my sofa, watched all the games, and you can watch with a different eye on a bye week. I did watch a bit of that Redskins Giants game, and the Giants will be coming in. The Giants actually played pretty well.
That's what I'm worried about. See, despite the standings, this Giants team could have been 4-0 in their last four games, and they're playing well.
They're not
playing bad football, and that's just. It feels like one of these games we're really going to have to be on our A game. We're going to have to bring out a good performance.
These games are always tight. They're always tough against the Giants.
Doug's
going to
have to game plan for this specifically.
And we're getting guys back. You know, we're getting some linemen back healthy. Say Amalu is activated.
I believe
Lane is going to play, right?
I think Lane should be going.
You got Miles Sanders going to try to
Miles
give it a
Sanders
go.
Miles Sanders is going to supposed to be full.
Rager came back, looked good. They're going to get Rager more involved.
Same with Goddard. Goddard's going to be more involved. And Alshon might play.
Well, Alshon, you know what? I don't even worry about that guy at this point.
Well, he's still part
of the team. Still part of the team.
And he's still a receiver. When he gets out there, you got to cover him. You can't.
He is a possession guy still.
You got to make you got to take him into account. If you're a defender, you can't just leave him out there. He's still Alshon Jeffrey.
Alshon has very, very good hands.
He does. I mean, look, he might have been a snitch. You know what I'm saying?
At the end of
the
day,
he might have been the ball. But at the end of the day, what are you going to do? This is football.
Yeah.
He's coming back at a position where I don't mind having a guy like him in the game. I really don't. I mean, Folgum has been tremendous, and I like Ward. I like Rager, what I've seen of him so far.
Same here.
And Hightower I'm mixed on, but I admit that there is
He's got wheels. And yeah. See, the thing with Hightower is the football IQ.
Yeah, he's losing the ball. The tracking the ball isn't his strong point.
Help your quarterback out, like on the bomb last week, get a hand in there type of thing. But now, it's funny, Tech, we quietly and quickly went from having a terrible wide receiver situation to an almost overcrowded one.
It's pretty good. I don't mind having four or five guys not named J.J. Arcega-Whiteside that could get in there and be good.
I mean, think about it. You know, we don't have Mac Hollins anymore.
Yeah, no more Mac Hollins.
Mac's gone. Vet alumni. How about these Sixers, man?
Yeah, see, this is what I wanted to do because it's a bye week. Yeah. I wanted to pivot to the Sixers this week.
Big offseason so far.
I guess you could say it's quiet because it's football season, but it is being acknowledged here that we have turned it around completely.
Doc and Daryl.
Doc and Daryl.
I love it.
And it's not just Doc, too. His coaching staff is pretty impressive. He's got Sam Cassell and
Legend.
Dave Yeager.
Yeah.
He's got guys on his staff.
Jameer
Nelson
native.
As a scout.
Yeah.
And that is, which is good. The bottom line is, you've now got basketball people.
Absolutely.
In charge. You know, it's basketball minds.
And you're not going to have, you know, Doc Rivers' wife or Daryl Morey's wife is probably not going to have a burner Twitter account.
No burner Twitter account.
Co-Angelo.
Co-Angelo. That whole thing was mandated in the first place, though. It wasn't like basketball minds were at the helm making decisions.
What a joke.
It was a joke. And see, that's what I even like about Elton Brand is, like, he's played the game. So he knows talent and knows guys. I mean, look, the Al Horford move is questionable, but, you know, Al Horford's his boy.
And he's still a former All-Star and NBA champion in this league.
Yeah. If you've got somebody like Daryl Morey running operations with Elton Brand as his point guard, that's a great move.
It is.
I feel like for just turning it around completely in the basketball minds department. I need basketball people.
These guys are going to trust each other and they respect each other. So when Doc talks, Elton's going to listen. When Elton talks, Daryl's going to listen. And they're going to be professional and they're going to approach this with a very decisive, assertive attack.
The best possible offseason, the best two guys, like, when Doc Rivers became available, immediately when I heard Doc Rivers is leaving the Clippers, I immediately thought, the Sixers,
wouldn't that be
unbelievable?
It would happen here.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, that would be like the Joe Girardi for the Phillies. It would be like Doc Rivers for the Sixers. And what do you know? Within 24 hours, they were all over him. He was flying here to meet. And it was pretty much a done deal. And the same with Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey announces he's not coming back to Houston. And it's like immediately we go in for the kill and we get it done.
Got it done. And one thing I'm really excited about is seeing Doc develop Ben and Joe. If Ben is not traded, which could happen, I want to see him get the most out of these guys because we haven't seen that yet.
All right, but I'm just saying, the Sixers, kudos to the Sixers organization for hearing the fans and reacting accordingly. We're excited.
Vet alumni. It's my quarterback.
Wentz under center. Wentz back. He fakes. He looks. He fires. Touchdown! Touchdown, Zekert! Wentz in the gun. Scott to his left. Wentz takes the snap. He's looking. He fires. Complete! Touchdown! Eagles win!
It's Wednesday afternoon quarterback.
Wednesday afternoon quarterback.
Yet again.
That clip right there, that was from week 14 last year at home
overtime.
Against the Giants. Overtime, touchdown. Carson Wentz threw one to Ertz. It was just a tremendous moment.
It was a thing of beauty. And that's what kick-started the run in December.
Yeah.
It kick-started it all. Four straight division games. One.
Yep.
Pretty remarkable.
Lay, last week it was all about Carson, and it still feels like this week it's going to be all about Carson.
Well, you know, in a different way, although it is. You know,
it comes down to Carson.
I'll tell you, Tech, I really hope that Carson took some much-needed alone time and engaged in some serious self-reflection during the bye. You know, maybe he hunted a little bit.
Maybe.
Hung with the wife and the kid and played with his dogs and ate well.
Maybe.
And simultaneously, while doing all these very good things for the soul, he had a chance to review what may have been his worst game tape that he ever created for us.
Ever.
You know, guys like Carson bounce back, though, man. He's repeatedly done so in his 4-plus-year career. He's always bounced back.
Yeah.
Eagles are getting healthier. He's going to have maybe more weapons on the field if Miles Sanders can come complement Boston Scott in the backfield.
He should be back.
Isaac Seumalo coming back, hopefully, to solidify the line more. You got Dallas Goedert again in rigor. And even Alshon Jeffrey lurking. So, you know.
Alshon.
We'll see what he does, you know. But the problem is Carson's been getting sacked 4 times a game. It's the most in the NFL. You know, with that said, Wednesday afternoon quarterback Daniel Jones is shortly behind him.
Absolutely.
Not that far behind as far as the amount of time sacked. Both these quarterbacks coming into this matchup have eerily similar numbers.
Which isn't good.
It's not good because
when your numbers
Carson
are
is a fifth-year starter.
Daniel Jones, it's just, what has happened?
I know. You know, at this point, Carson sits at 19th in the league with about 1,883 yards. Daniel Jones, 1,878 yards, 5 yards behind him. So that's what you're looking at with this Carson comparison, the quarterback comparison. It's very close. Carson with 12 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Daniel Jones, 8 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. They've thrown almost the same exact amount of passes. 305 and 306 thrown. Except
wow.
Daniel Jones is actually completing 4% more of his passes this
wow.
year. I think this is going to come down to what Carson we get on Sunday.
You can't get that bad Carson again. It can't happen.
There are a few reasons why it won't. Partially, I'm going to get into that in the Numbers Don't Lie segment.
Oh, yeah, because the numbers don't lie.
They tell
the story.
They do. And with Carson against the New York Giants, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen out there in the world, there are some really, really encouraging things to be hopeful about this coming Sunday.
I hope so. I hope you're right.
So that's really my Wednesday afternoon quarterback tech is about self-care and self-reflection. This was a bye week for our quarterback. He knows how poorly he played. He knows that if he has just turned the ball over even 3 less times this year, we
yeah.
probably have 2 more victories.
Right.
There you go. This is that close to being a 5-2-1 football team or a 6-3 football team.
It is true.
It's only a few interceptions away or turnovers away, and that's on Carson because the defense
is
played above average in a lot of games.
Yes. I bitch about him a lot. I bitch about Schwartz. But in the end, they do come up big.
It's all about the quarterback.
It's definitely all about the quarterback. Speaking of that, it's only appropriate to mention that Brett Favre was asked in a comparison of who he'd rather have, Wentz or Foles, or who the Eagles should have kept after the Super Bowl year. And what do you think he said? With all the comparisons to that Carson's getting to Brett Favre, what do you think Favre said?
Well, let me just start with a disclaimer that Brett Favre should stick to Wrangler jean commercials. Okay? I'm going to assume with the way you're going with this, Tech, that Brett Favre said Nicholas Foles.
He did say Foles. He
what
said we should have kept
absurd
Foles.
Absurd view.
I think that's a view from somebody who's not seeing what we're seeing.
No, and look.
They don't really watch. I mean, how many times would he get to see? Does he live in? No, if he doesn't live in Philly.
Well, he could have NFL Sunday ticket, which he probably
could
does,
have
but how interested...
Is he watching it?
Yeah, right. How exactly. interested are you really? Now, here's the thing. I want our listeners to understand. Nick Foles, what he did in 2017 was remarkable.
Yes.
And what he did in 2013 with 27-2, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, remarkable. And that ratio got his uniform and his cleats into Canton as part of the 7 touchdown game against the Raiders.
Right.
Other than
correct.
That, Nick Foles has done just about nothing as an NFL quarterback.
I was watching that Bears game the other day.
It's pretty bad. I'll get into that in a pick segment
as well. As
bad
as Carson Wentz has been, Nick Foles is terrible. I would take Wentz over Foles any day of the week, twice on Sunday.
Right, and at that point in time when that decision had to be made, you know, at that point you have a third-year franchise quarterback, second overall pick, who has just basically put your team in a position for your backup quarterback to knock the dominoes down.
Yeah.
You don't move on from that. And anybody that was advocating for that or even would still be advocating for that, maybe they haven't watched enough football or understand football enough to really understand and comprehend what a franchise quarterback is. And
right.
Nick Foles has never started a full season. And even with Carson's injury issues, he still has completed multiple 16-game seasons already, by his fifth year.
Exactly.
So, you roll the dice, per se, with your second overall pick at that point, and you see what you get. Now, it's been a mixed bag since, but this year could honestly turn the tide positively here in this second half, because traditionally, Doug's teams have played very well in November and December.
And we'll get into that with the numbers, and, you know, they don't lie. So, you know, without any further ado, numbers don't lie.
Numbers don't lie.
Numbers don't lie. You know that the numbers don't lie.
Men lie, women lie, numbers don't.
Numbers don't lie.
Look at the numbers. The numbers don't lie.
Numbers don't lie.
Oh man, I love numbers so much.
I know you do.
But
you got some good ones.
I do. We'll get right into it. So, Eagles at Giants, NFC East division game. Tech, I'm sure you'd be interested to know that not only have the Eagles won 8 of their last 10 trips to New York, but they're averaging 29.7 points per game over the last decade in New York.
Wow.
They've scored exactly 34 points in their last 3 trips to New York, whether it was Foles or Carson.
Wow.
Okay, so with those 2 losses, one was in Andy's last season, when they got pounded 42-7.
Yes, I remember that one.
And the year that they finished 4-12, and we know Mike Vick seriously declined. Then our guy Chip Kelly comes in, paving the way for a collapse, which paved the way for Doug and Carson and Nick to win the chip.
Yes.
There's a concise history right there.
Yeah.
Moving forward, in the past 21 matchups, Eagles are 17-4 against the Giants. Doug, in November and December, is 23-16 in his career, good for almost a .700 win percentage. And Carson, I talked about this in the last segment, in his career against New York, sports a 7-1 record, averaging 267 yards per game, with an overall touchdown-interception ratio of 11 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. The kid likes playing the Giants.
Yeah.
No matter what is going on in his life or his career. So, good things to feel good about for our Birds fans out there going into this division tilt, which, like you said, is a de facto playoff game this season.
It really is. You cannot lose this game or else you're putting the pressure on yourself to have to win one of these 5 games against great teams.
You know who else likes to play for Philadelphia in New York?
Who's that?
Boston. Our guy Boston Scott.
He does. He loves the Giants.
He loves playing the Giants. If Miles Sanders doesn't suit up, and he probably will, but if he doesn't, Boston Scott's averaging 119 scrimmage yards per game in 3 career games against the Giants.
Yes, I just don't want to see that run up the middle. anymore.
No, they need to be a little more creative with the traps and the counters.
Yes.
Boston Scott is a guy, you know, you want to stretch, you run that stretch play.
Yeah.
That old school Peyton Manning stretch play. I want to see that with Boston
And he's the new
Scott.
Sproles. You just got to get him like you did Sproles, those same kind of plays.
Yeah. Now, flipping to the other side of the field, on the defensive side, quietly, man, Darius Slay has demonstrated why he was acquired for this top cornerback position. Here are the yardage totals allowed by him to the top receivers on these teams we've played. Terry McLaurin, 28 yards. Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods combined, 18 yards. Tyler Boyd and A.J. Green combined, 31. George Kittle and Deebo Samuel, 21.
Wow.
Juju Smith-Schuster and Clint Chase Claypool, 37. Hollywood Marquise Brown, 47. Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard, 25. And Amari Cooper, a big old donut. Now, again, that's not the whole total for the game for those players. That's when Darius Slay was matched up on those players.
Yes.
When you break down the film. So, the defense has improved. We're fourth overall against the pass in the entire league. Defense has improved. Still the bottom third of the league against the run, though. They got to get better up front
against
the
run. They give up big running plays. I mean, I understood when it was, you know, Ezekiel Elliott.
Right.
I understand when it's him.
Yeah, you can't do it to menial average running backs.
No. And I'm afraid Gallman's going to run all down our throats this week.
Well, they might get Devontae Freeman back this week, but Wayne Gallman, he's turned out three very productive RB1 performances.
Don't they have Alfred Morris, too? He had a good game.
Alfred Morris, yeah. Alfred Morris is that journeyman running back.
But he had a good game against
Washington. He did. He looked kind of spry.
He did. He was
Alfred
fighting
Morris
for yards.
Now, the last number here for you is related to our pass rush, which is one of the best pass rushes in football this year. And Josh Sweat still hanging tight with the sixth fastest sack on the entire season across the NFL, according to Next Gen Stats, 2.37 seconds in week one against the Washington football team.
Yes.
TJ Edwards, 12th on the year across the entire league with that sack from last week at 2.5 seconds. And the Eagles as a team, third in the league, 28 sacks, trailing only Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay. Conversely, the Giants are 28th in the NFL, allowing 3 sacks a game. So that's a point to watch with that pass rush. If we can stop the run, it's going to be a long night for the Giants that could produce a 10-point Birds victory.
I hope so.
In that scenario.
Because I'd like to see the Eagles put up 34 points in this game.
I don't see Daniel Jones throwing for more than 250 in this one.
Right.
I think they keep him under 250.
Well, I hope so, because we need to put up 34 points. That's all I know. Now
33-26, man. I'm going 33-26. Numbers don't lie. There's your score for Birds Giants. We'll obviously get into some other picks in the next segment, but for Birds Giants, the numbers don't really lie are 33-26, as the Eagles will push their record to 4-4-1 in pursuit of the crown in the best division of the, I mean the worst division of the, you know what I'm saying.
It is the worst division of all time. The NFC least.
Numbers don't lie, bro.
Vet alumni. Now it's doom and gloom.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Hello, you play to win the game.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
That's where I'm frustrated. That's where my whole frustration comes in.
We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
I'm going to tell you why I'm mad.
Doom and gloom.
Oh, man. What's he got this week?
I mean, look. What's he got? I say it time and time again. I just can't help it. I can't help it.
That's why we're here.
This week, the focus for me is on the Phillies because they don't think we're thinking about them.
They
right
don't.
Now.
You're right. They think they can quietly operate in the shadows with their twisted philosophies of trying to win, but not really trying to all the way win.
Andy McPhail, you are a clown. Your name is your game. You are a McPhailure. You haven't had a winning season in 14 years. You hold a press conference acting like you've been successful since you've been here. In a season where everybody and their brother made the playoffs, we once again finished below 500 and miss October. Failure. Talking about, we don't want to hire a new GM that would have to uproot in the middle of a pandemic. Last season at the trade deadline, when asked a question about making moves to make the playoffs, you responded with, if we don't, we don't. We hate you the same way we've hated many who have come before you who arrogantly refuse to understand the fan base. Then we basically asked, why are you still here? And he says, I'll happily step aside. Everyone knows I only have 1 year left on my contract. Please leave. We do not want you here. And John Middleton, you have allowed this. Crying broke in the middle of a pandemic when millions around the country have lost jobs. Tone deaf is what you are. Out of touch with your fan base. Trading away a top prospect who's blossoming into an ace for a star catcher you won't commit to signing long term. Just cut the check. Not extending a qualifying offer to Didi Gregorius, who really was one of the best, if not the best player for us this past season. Wasting prime Bryce Harper years. Oh, you remember Bryce? You know, your superstar right fielder who's been campaigning for you to pay JT like he's running for mayor. Your unwillingness to really do what's required to be a winner is remarkable. Refusing to pay luxury tax or hire a real GM. You let the media run with the Klentak fired headline, knowing full well he was just demoted. When decisions are being made, he's still in the room. His voice still gets heard. Shit, his sidekick and right-hand man was given his job. And his name is Ned. You know who I think of when I hear the name Ned? Ned Ryerson. Remember? Needle Nose Ned? Ned the Head? Groundhog Day?
Yes, yes.
And then blame the pandemic. Meanwhile, other teams are hiring managers and front office people, and they ain't crying about being broke or uprooting. You are a joke. This organization has become a joke. Even the Sixers, with arguably one of the worst owners in the history of Philly sports, heard the noise and answered the call by not only hiring Doc Rivers to be the next head coach, but putting together what looks like, we were just talking about, a pretty respectable coaching staff, and then hiring Daryl Morey to head up basketball ops. You get the drift. Teams that want to win act like it. With those teams, it's never a question if the owner is committed. You don't need to hear from the team president, and you only need to see the owner in his luxury box on game day. Teams in shambles that have effectively lost their fan base act like the Phillies. It's disgraceful. And even though it's football season and you're not in the forefront of our focus, you're not off the hook. We have not forgotten. We will not forget. And that's doom and gloom, friend.
This front office has taken a situation that could have been extremely promising for the future of this baseball club and flipped it upside down on its head, where two years ago we were excited to get a guy like Bryce Harper. And then we're looking at this lineup and the potential this lineup could have if guys like Scott Kingery can hit 270 or 280, and guys can come around like we got Alec Bohm finished second in rookie of the year voting.
Oh, yeah.
Behind a very good pitcher.
He's
on the
beast.
Brewers.
Alec Bohm is a beast.
The kid that wanted him in Milwaukee deserved it. The rookie of the year. But what I'm getting at is you have a situation that could have been explosive right away.
Yeah.
If it was handled properly.
Absolutely.
And now here we are looking like maybe the worst team in our division.
Which is absurd.
They might be the worst team in the NL East.
All right, this week wasn't so good for Prem's pick. So let's without any further ado, it's time for Prem's picks.
It's time for Prem's Picks.
These games are a blowout, a human lock. You can bet your children's unborn children on these games!
All right, so last week, Tech, was a good old-fashioned story of the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Woo!
Prem Stradamus, as I've been known in certain circles, took a step back, only going 1-for-3 last week, which is a nice slice of humble pie, I'll be honest.
Right.
But in my defense, the Bears missed the +6 by 1 point, losing by 7, and Nick Foles scored 0 in the first half.
Awful.
You don't expect that from a guy like Nick Foles. I overestimated his level of play this year, and maybe because of what he did for us in green.
I
think it's reasonable. I bet on Nick more so than I bet on that game. The other loss was the Cardinals, who scored 31 points at home, like I expected they would.
But I just didn't see them losing that game. I didn't see it.
Nobody did, man. But somehow the Dolphins tallied 34 points into a second start, and Tua looked okay.
Tua looked
okay. So I'll eat that one. I think a lot of people ate that one.
Okay, yep.
Absolutely. And the one that I did hit, of course, was Minnesota, who continued to roll, demolishing the Lions by double digits. And I told you that was a double-digit Viking win last week. I told you that.
Right.
And they won by double digits. So I'm 6-3 in the last 3 weeks. If you've been with me the last 3 weeks, you are winning money.
Well, as long as they're winning money.
So I'm going to bounce back right here with three fresh locks.
Locks!
Tough week matchup-wise, Tech, but here we go. I might make the same mistake twice, but I don't care. Give me the Chargers +3 going to Miami. Yes, we just talked about the Dolphins pulling off an impressive upset in Arizona, but Justin Herbert, rookie quarterback for the Chargers, is a legitimate playmaker.
Solid.
Got mobility, got a cannon, nice supporting cast. As a rookie, he's coming into this game in sunny Florida as the game's fifth-ranked passing attack with the Chargers, ranks 10th in the league in yards, despite only playing in 7 games.
Oh, wow.
He's got a 17-5 touchdown interception ratio. I like the Chargers 26-20 in this game outright. And also, it's important to remember that after two improbable wins, there's never a better game to pick the Dolphins to lose.
Gotcha.
Lock.
Yes. Lock.
Secondly, I'm going back to tried and true pick this year. Give me the Las Vegas Raiders at home this week against
Raiders.
The Denver Broncos. They're 5-point favorites, but because it's a division game, just take the money line. Raiders to win straight up. It's a good football team, the Raiders at home, and Derek Carr is the fifth-ranked passer in rating, quarterback rating, with a mark of 110.
Wow.
Darren Waller's a rising star at tight end.
Oh, yeah.
And also, he is. And he's more like mostly like a receiver at tight end.
Yep.
And the Broncos allowed a 10th most production in the league to opposing quarterbacks. The rookie quarterback, Drew Lock, has been serviceable, played well, led a good comeback against the Chargers. But the Raiders will be too much at home. Lock.
Lock.
And the last pick on our Week 10 bounce-back trio is Cincinnati +8. Off a bye, headed to their usual house of horrors in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Yes, you'll say, Pittsburgh, no way. But I gotta remind you that just 3 days ago, the Steelers trailed the pathetic Cowboys until late in the fourth quarter. No-name quarterback Garrett Gilbert looked good against them. Now you have number one overall pick Joe Burrow coming in off a bye, who's gotten consistently better every week. Give me the 8-point cushion, because I see this game being a one-score game either way.
Mm-hmm.
Lock.
Lock.
There it is.
All right, so just in summary.
In summary, we're going the Chargers +3. The
Lock.
Vaders money line at home to win.
Lock.
And the Bengals +8.
Lock. Prince picks.
There it is.
Vet alumni.